Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Father Joseph Gimbala is our pastor, Zach Murphy and Ursula Krauss are our technical wizards, and my name is Gordon Peck. Our program is a continuation of a study of the prophetic books. We're going to look at the life of Jeremiah. We'll do that in two parts. We're looking at the major prophets. We've looked at Isaiah. We'll be looking at Jeremiah, then Ezekiel, and then we're going to throw in Daniel as part of the study as well. But as in all things, let us begin in prayer. In name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, teach me the sacred art of attentive listening. Illuminate my understanding of the profound power that lies in not merely hearing with my ears, but also with the depths of my heart. Enable me to become a vessel for effective and compassionate communication, recognizing that the ability to listen and share your message of love is a divine and transformative gift. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Jeremiah was known as a prophet from the 13th year of Josiah, king of Judah, and Josiah reigned in 626 BC until after the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of Solomon's temple in 587. So Jeremiah's time was like 626 BC to 587 BC. And his lifetime spanned the reigns of five kings: Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. And the linguistic imagery that is used throughout his writings is that of marriage and adultery. They're integral to his messages. His messages are oracles, messages from the Lord. And they're to all people of Judah over the course of his lifetime. He's a contemporary of Ezekiel and Daniel. And if we put him in a place and time, we look at our storyline, we see that we talked about Isaiah living around 700 BC. Well, Jeremiah lives in that 626 to 586 range in there, and you can see that he is contemporary with Daniel and Ezekiel, and he will live from the time of when Assyria is conquered by Babylon until the time when Babylon comes and conquers and destroys Jerusalem. Now, Jeremiah has often been regarded as the author of the Book of Lamentations, but it's not likely because there are certain inconsistencies between the events that are recorded in Jeremiah and in Lamentation, and those discrepancies would suggest different authors. When the Lord instructed Jeremiah to record his oracles or homilies, Baruch was enlisted as his secretary. And while the oracles were probably first recorded in Hebrew, most of the original source material has been found to be from Greek manuscripts. The original text was probably assembled around 550 BC. The book of Jeremiah combines history, biography, and prophecy, and it covers a period of crisis and introduces the reader to an extraordinary person whom the Lord called to prophesy under extremely difficult circumstances. The threat of Assyria had passed, but both Egypt and Babylon are now players in the game, and these are the potentially awful final days of the kingdom of Judah. Jeremiah was born around 650. He was called to be a prophet of the Lord in the 13th year of King Josiah. Now, Josiah became king as a boy. He was about 9 years old, and he lived in decadent times in the kingdom of Judah. There were not many who were following the faith truly and completely. When he became an adult, however, he discovered some scrolls of Moses that were hidden in the temple, and he read them. So he read the Pentateuch. He read the five books of Moses, and he called the people to repentance. And he found his voice as an adult, and he found his faith. And along with King Hezekiah, he's only one of two kings that follow the Lord through this whole time period. Now, Josiah's reform began with enthusiasm and hope, but unfortunately, it was tragically ended very quickly with his death on the battlefield of Megiddo in 609 BC. Now, Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, fell in 612 BC, which prepared the way for the new Colossus, which was Babylon, to soon put an end to the independence of Judah. And Jeremiah supported the reforms of King Josiah, but after the king's death, the old idolatry began to come back into the temple. And Jeremiah opposed this as well as royal policy towards Babylon, and he would face arrest, imprisonment, and public disgrace all through his life. So let's begin with Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, and we will introduce the prophet. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the days of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign, and again in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the exile of Jerusalem in the 5th month. The word of the Lord came to me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. Now, you may have heard this section of Jeremiah quoted many times in the quest for the right to life and in the battle against abortion. And it's very telling because the Lord says here that before I formed you in the womb, before you were a fertilized egg, before you were a human being, I dedicated you. So the Lord knows us even before conception. So what does it mean to end a life? Well, we'll leave that for another moment. Continuing this chapter, we read, "Ah, Lord God," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord answered me, "Do not say I'm too young. To whomever I send you, you shall go. Whatever I command, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, oracle of the Lord." Then the Lord extended his hand and touched my mouth, saying to me, "See, I place my words in your mouth." Chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to me, "Go cry out this message to Jerusalem to hear. I remember the devotion of your youth, how you loved me as a bride, following me in the wilderness in a land unsown. Israel was dedicated to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who ate of it were held guilty. All who ate of it were held guilty, and evil befell them, oracle of the Lord." Jeremiah begins the dialogue between the Lord and Judah as like that between a groom and a betrothed wife. "Listen to the word of the Lord, house of Jacob, all you clans of the house of Israel, thus says the Lord. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they withdrew from me, went after emptiness, and became empty themselves? They did not ask, 'Where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of wastes and ravines, a land of drought and darkness, a land which no one crosses, where no one dwells? I brought you into the garden land to eat its fine fruits, but you entered and defiled my land. You turned my heritage into an abomination.' The priests did not ask, 'Where is the Lord?' The experts in the law did not know me. The shepherds rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, and they went after useless idols. Therefore, I will again accuse you, oracle of the Lord. Even your children's children I will accuse." So Jeremiah uses these terms of adultery to describe the idolatry of Judah. He takes the covenant relationship between God and Judah is like a marriage covenant, and Judah continually violates it, so they act adulterous. The people of Judah chased after the gods of the Canaanites again and again and other nations without any shame or distress about the relationship with God. Even the priests of the temple assured them that as long as the temple stood, the Lord would not forget his covenant. In other words, they could worship these gods on the side, in their houses, in different places. As long as the temple stands, the Lord God is going to protect us. These same priests, along with many people, chased after these false gods, and they committed the same apostasy as many of the people. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11, "Does any other nation change its gods, even though they are not gods at all? But my people have changed their glory for useless things. Be horrified at this. Heavens, shudder, be appalled, oracle of the Lord. Two evils my people have done. They have forsaken me, the source of living waters, and they have dug themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. The Lord is the source of living water, and the worship of false gods violates the commandments. If a man divorces his wife and she leaves him and then becomes the wife of another, can she return to the first? Would not this land be wholly defiled? But you have played the prostitute with many lovers, and yet you would return to me, oracle of the Lord. Raise your eyes to the heights and look. Where have men not lain with you? Along the roadways you waited for them like an Arabian in the wilderness. You defiled the land by your wicked prostitution. Therefore the showers were withheld. The spring rain did not fall. But because you have a prostitute's brow, you refuse to be ashamed. Roam the streets of Jerusalem, look about and observe, search through her squares to find even one who acts justly and seeks honesty, and I will pardon her. They say, as the Lord lives, but in fact they swear falsely. Lord, do your eyes not search for honesty? You struck them, but they did not flinch. You laid them low, but they refused correction. They set their faces harder than stone and refused to return. I thought, these are only the lowly. They behave foolishly, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the justice of their God. Let me go to the leaders and speak with them, for they must know the way of the Lord, the justice of their God. But one and all, they have broken the yoke, torn off the harness. Therefore, lions from the forest slay them. Wolves of the desert ravage them. Leopards keep watch round their cities, and all who come out are torn to pieces, for their crimes are many, the rebellions numerous. So the Lord tells Jeremiah that he will spare Judah for the sake of just one good man. But Jeremiah cannot find that man, even amongst the priesthood. But we know that Jesus is the one man that God is speaking about, who knows the will of God the Father and willingly does it and shows us how we are to live. Jeremiah chapter 7. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the house of the Lord and proclaim this message there. Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, reform your ways and your deeds so that I may dwell with you in this place. Do not put your trust in these deceptive words, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Only if you thoroughly reform your ways and your deeds, if each of you deals justly with your neighbor, if you no longer oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow, if you no longer shed innocent blood in this place or follow after other gods to your own harm, only then will I let you continue to dwell in this place, in the land I gave your ancestors long ago and forever. But look at you. You put your trust in deceptive words to your own loss. Do you think you could steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, sacrifice to Baal, follow other gods that you do not know, and then come and stand in my presence in this house, which bears my name, and say we are safe, we can commit all these abominations again? Has this house which bears my name become in your eyes a den of thieves? I have seen it for myself, oracle of the Lord. Go to my place at Shiloh, where I made my name dwell in the beginning. See what I did to it because of the wickedness of the people of Israel. Shiloh is a place that was like the temple, but it was for the northern kingdom of Israel, which has now been destroyed by the Assyrians. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 13. And now, because you've committed all these deeds, oracle of the Lord, because you did not listen, though I spoke to you untiringly, and because you did not answer, though I called you, I will do to this house, which bears my name, in which you trust, and to the place which I gave you and your ancestors, exactly what I did to Shiloh. I will cast you out of my sight as I cast away all your kindred, all the offspring of Ephraim. So Jeremiah reminds the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, of how Assyria was used to chastise the northern kingdom of Israel, and he warns them that this could and will occur to them if they do not change their ways. The loving God is always warning them and saying, if you do not change your ways. But unfortunately, they don't. And the reaction is outrage and cries of the vast majority to silence Jeremiah. They don't want to be told of their own behavior. Jeremiah is not to be listened to. When Jesus appears to the priests of the Sanhedrin in the temple, he quotes Jeremiah with regard to them being a den of thieves. And the true temple will be rebuilt in his body after the resurrection and in our hearts. Well, the people at Jeremiah's time, they don't get it. They just don't get it. Jeremiah chapter 11, God's plea for fidelity to the covenant. A conspiracy has been found, the Lord said to me, among the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have returned to the crimes of their ancestors who refused to obey my words. They also have followed and served other gods. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken the covenant I made with their ancestors. Therefore, thus says the Lord, see, I am bringing upon them a disaster they cannot escape. Though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they have been offering incense. But these gods will give them no help whatever in the time of their disaster. Now, it's useful to go back and look at what Moses told the people in Deuteronomy. And he said, and this is what he told them about how they needed to listen to prophets. And Moses said to them, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to imitate the abominations of the nations there. Let there not be found among you anyone who causes their son or daughter to pass through the fire or practices divination or is a soothsayer, augur, or sorcerer who casts spells, consults ghosts and spirits, or seeks oracles from the dead. The phrase here, let no one have their son or daughter pass through the fire, is infant sacrifice, which the Canaanites did quite frequently. And unfortunately, the people of Moses, after being in the land for a while, started to do the same thing. Anyone who does such things is an abomination to the Lord, and because of such abominations, the Lord your God is dispossessing them before you. Sounds very harsh, doesn't it, for their behavior? But then we need to reflect upon our behavior as a society in this time and age. And do we not know these same truths, and yet we stumble and fall? Deuteronomy chapter 18 continues, You must be altogether sincere with the Lord your God. Although these nations whom you are about to dispossess, that is the Canaanites, listen to their soothsayers and diviners, the Lord your God will not permit you to do so. A prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your own kindred. That is the one to whom you shall listen. This is exactly what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not again hear the voice of the Lord my God, nor see this great fire anymore, or I will die. And the Lord said to me, what they have said is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kindred, and I will put my words into the mouth of the prophet, and the prophet shall tell them all that I command. Anyone who will not listen to my words, which the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will hold accountable for it. But if a prophet presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded, or speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Should you say to yourselves, how can we recognize that a word is one the Lord has not spoken? If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, but the word does not come true, it is a word the Lord did not speak. The prophet has not spoken it presumptuously. Do not fear him. So in the Mosaic covenant, the Lord says he will give the people the promised land if, a big if, they keep his statutes. And the inverse is also true. He will take it away. Well, the people are outraged at Jeremiah and his negative thinking. They see it as negative thinking. He's criticizing us. He's picking on us. They ignore his prophecies, and they plot to kill or at the very least silence him. They cannot imagine living as Jeremiah does, and it can compelling them. But the one true God, that the Lord Jesus, will show how this is to be accomplished, and of course, he will reign forever. The Lord's instructions on prophets. Now, Jeremiah chapter 13, we read, "The Lord said to me, 'Go buy yourself a linen loincloth. Wear it on your loins, but do not put it in water.' I bought the loincloth as the Lord commanded and put it on. A second time, the word of the Lord came to me thus, 'Take the loincloth which you bought and are wearing, and go at once to Pereth. Hide it there in a cleft of the rock.' Obedient to the Lord's command, I went to Pereth and buried the loincloth. After a long time, the Lord said to me, 'Go now to Pereth and fetch the loincloth which I told you to hide there.' So I went to Pereth, looking for the loincloth, and took it from the place I had hidden it. But it was rotted, good for nothing. And then the word came to me from the Lord. 'Thus says the Lord, so also I will allow the pride of Judah to rot, the great pride of Jerusalem. This wicked people who refuse to obey my words, who walk in the stubbornness of their hearts and follow other gods, serving and worshiping them, will be like this loincloth, good for nothing. For as the loincloth clings to a man's loins, so I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, oracle of the Lord, to be my people, my fame, my praise, my glory. But they did not listen." So as the loincloth becomes rotten, as does the society of Judah, the Lord rejects them for chasing after other gods and violating the first commandment, which is, of course, "You shall have no other gods before me." Now, again, the people are outraged at Jeremiah and what they perceive to be his negative thinking. They ignore his prophecies and they plot to discredit or silence him. And they cannot imagine living as he does, living to every letter of the law. Jeremiah chapter 14. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the drought. Judah mourns, her gates are lifeless, they are bowed to the ground, and the outcry of Jerusalem goes up. The nobles send their servants for water, but when they come to the cisterns, they find no water and return with empty jars. Confounded, despairing, they cover their heads because of the ruined soil, because there is no rain in the land. The farmers are confounded, and they cover their heads. And the Lord said to me, "Even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my heart would not turn toward this people. Send them away from me and let them go. If they ask you, 'Where should we go?' tell them, 'Thus says the Lord, whoever is marked for death, to death. Whoever is marked for the sword, to the sword. Whoever is marked for famine, to famine. Whoever is marked for captivity, to captivity. Four kinds of scourge I have decreed against them, oracle of the Lord: the sword to kill them, dogs to drag them off, the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy them. Woe to me, my mother, that you gave me birth, a man of strife and contention to all the land. I neither borrow nor lend, yet everyone curses me. Tell me, Lord, have I not served you for their good? Have I not interceded with you in time of misfortune and anguish? Can one break iron, iron from the north, and bronze? Your wealth and your treasures I give as plunder, demanding no payment because of all your sins throughout all your territory. And I shall enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for a fire has broken out from my anger. It is kindled against you." So the Lord now expresses displeasure with Judah with very specific punishments. And then Jeremiah says, "You know, Lord, remember me, take care of me, avenge me on my persecutors, because you are slow to anger. Do not banish me. Know that for you I have borne insult. When I found your words, I devoured them. Your words were my joy, the happiness of my heart. Because I bear your name, Lord, God of hosts, I did not sit celebrating in the circle of merrymakers. Under the weight of your hand, I sat alone, because you filled me with rage. Why is my pain continuous, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? To me, you are like a deceptive brook, waters that cannot be relied upon." So Jeremiah is expressing a great tiredness in serving the Lord. And thus the Lord answered me, if you come back and I take you back in my presence, you shall stand. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be my mouth. Then they will be the ones who turn to you, not you who turn to them. And I will make you toward this people a fortified wall of bronze. Though they fight against you, they shall not prevail. For I am with you to save and rescue you, Oracle of the Lord. I will rescue you from the hand of the wicked and ransom you from the power of the violent. So the Lord now here assures Jeremiah that he will be safe under the protection of the Lord, but he must believe in and trust the Lord and persevere in delivering the message that the Lord wants told. Jeremiah 16. This word came to me from the Lord. Do not take a wife and do not have sons and daughters in this place. For thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters born in this place, the mothers who gave them birth, the fathers who beget them in this land. Of deadly disease they shall die. Unlamented and unburied, they will lie like dung on the ground. Sword and famine will make an end of them, and their corpse will be like food for the birds and of the sky and beasts of the earth. Thus says the Lord, do not go into a house of mourning. Do not go there to lament or grieve for them, for I have withdrawn my peace from this people, Oracle of the Lord, my love and my compassion. When you proclaim all these words to this people and they ask you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great disaster against us? What is our crime? What sin have we committed against the Lord our God? You shall answer them. It is because your ancestors have forsaken me, Oracle of the Lord, and followed other gods that they served and worshiped. But me they have forsaken, and my law they did not keep. And you have done worse than your ancestors. Here you are, every one of you, walking in the stubbornness of your evil heart instead of listening to me. I will throw you out of this land into a land that neither you nor your ancestors have known, and there you can serve other gods day and night, because I will not show you mercy. Thus says the Lord, as you love your lives, take care not to carry burdens on the Sabbath, to bring them in through the gates of Jerusalem. Bring no burden from your homes on the Sabbath. Do no work whatever, but keep holy the Sabbath day, as I commanded your ancestors, though they did not listen or give ear, but stiffened their necks so they could not hear or take correction. If you truly obey me, Oracle of the Lord, and carry no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath day holy and abstaining from all work on it, then through the gates of this city, kings who sit upon the throne of David will continue to enter, riding in their chariots or upon their horses, along with their princes and the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This city will remain inhabited forever. So when we look at everything we've covered in this part of the program, we see that Jeremiah is appointed by God to be a prophet to Judah, and it's one of the most difficult times because it's a great period of apostasy. The people have turned away from God. They don't even realize they're doing it. It's a little bit like when you run into people in our society today who, if you mention God, they kind of chuckle and they think you're like, you believe in fairy tales or, you know, there's people like that. And this is where what Judah was starting to become like. And Jeremiah, of course, he's either frequently ignored or he's spat upon or he's heckled. And day after day, he attempts to bring the truth of the Lord to Judah, but they don't listen. And after 20 years of prophesying, the Lord asked Jeremiah to write down his oracles, that is the message that have been given to him. And he assigns Baruch as an assistant to help him do this. Now, we touched a little bit on Deuteronomy, and we saw where Moses admonished the Israelites to not chase after foreign gods when they came into the land that the Lord promised them. And sometimes people are like that. They will see other people are doing something, and so they'll start doing it themselves. They don't stay true to their faith. They start to look around to see, well, what's everybody else doing? I'll go with the flow. I'll go along to get along. And that's a major mistake, as we will see. So they've forgotten the Mosaic covenant. They do all manner of things that are evil in the sight of the Lord. And like Isaiah before him, Jeremiah is given this impossible task of calling all of these people back to the Lord. But in spite of that difficulty, however, the Lord holds out hope for this chosen people, and he still announces to them that there is one coming who will fulfill all of these prophecies and show us how we are to live. So let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.